true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Super reverb-y in here.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in a room with hard walls.
Same.
Samesies.
I mean, I could try to move.
I think he'll just have to run it through a filter.
Yeah.
Some sort. Make it less unpleasant.
Look at you wearing a suit.
Honestly, it's because I'm staying elsewhere and I forgot to bring like a hoodie and it got cool and I was outside. The only warmth I have is this suit jacket right now.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm just in Livermore. We're in rehearsals, so I'm staying out. I have a post house that I'm staying at some of the time. Sometimes I'm staying back in Oakland. Sometimes I'm staying in Livermore. Just depends on if I have work or not.
Nice.
Just avoiding some of the commute.
And how's that play going? How's rehearsal?
Good. We started rehearsals a week ago. We're just hitting our second week of rehearsals, and it's fun. It's not a lot to report. We actually lost an actor for health reasons. It's all, you know, he's fine, but it just wasn't working. And replaced them almost immediately, thank God.
Because this
is a small cast. Everybody's doubled. There's, you know.
Oh, wow.
There's only so much you can rehearse around when you're missing an actor.
For sure.
Especially if he has two roles.
What's the show again?
Doing Twelfth Night. Shakespeare's sort of most obvious comedy, I would say. Like, it's so just like, it hits all the marks. It's boom, 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 straight down the line. There's a woman dressed as a man. It falls in love. Blah, blah, blah. Everyone thinks they're someone else. Boom. There's, you know, people mistaken for other people.
Sure.
Good stuff. And I'm
is
playing.
Is he a boy or is he a girl?
Right.
We don't know.
And then her brother comes to town and everyone thinks it's her.
What? Who's who?
He doesn't know why they're talking to him like that. What's happening?
Whatever could this be? What a mystery. Gender lines.
Yep. And I'm playing two roles, both the sort of romantic lead, sort of. Orsino is just like the guy who thinks he's in love. And then I'm also playing Malvolio, who's like the uptight steward who is trying to run the household.
Here's the real question. Are either of them hapless?
Thank you for using that. Thank you for acknowledging the adjective that is attached to too many of my roles.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, we have. That I play a lot of hapless. I'd say Orsino is
a little hapless.
On the hapless end of the spectrum, but then
maybe he's haplite.
He's haplite. He's lacking hap.
He has some hap.
He's a little hap lacking.
He has some haps.
Yes, he has a little bit of hap, but his hap level is low. And then Malvolio, I don't think plays hapless, but he is gold.
What?
G-U-L-L. He is fooled. He is gold.
Okay.
So he kind of be, and if that's a version of hapless being gold. Mm. Yeah. Now, hapless is a little more stumble bum. Whoa, what's happening to me? I'm just an innocent.
I couldn't even imagine understanding reality. Boop-a-da-boop-boo. Life just happens around me and nothing bad happens. Fuck you, white people.
So that's really what all the roles I mostly play is, you know, hey, everything's fine because I live in my little privileged world.
Yeah.
And then when something goes wrong, how could that possibly be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're typing hard, aren't you? Type, 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 type.
Had to. Okay, I'm going to stop. Let me do it, and then I'll stop doing it permanently.
Okay. All right. I just want to acknowledge, we're probably going to cut that out, but that was some hardcore typing. Like, you A, fast as hell. Impressive.
Thank you.
Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
I was not a big Seinfeld watcher.
I don't love it in retrospect, but I watched enough episodes, and there was an episode where Kramer was doing a lot of extra work.
Uh-huh.
And he got booked on, what was that show with, not Ally McBeal, the other one, the woman was, I can't remember. She's like a newsroom lady.
Okay.
And one of the shticks in that show was that she had a revolving assistant, like, you know, person. It was always a different person at the desk that, like, to let people into her office.
Elaine, Elaine, it's Kramer. Kramer's on Murphy Brown.
Kramer's on Murphy Brown.
Look, there he is. He's sitting at the desk.
Hi, I'm Murphy Brown. You must be my new secretary.
Oh, good morning, Miss Brown.
And who are?
I'm Stephen Snell.
Right.
And one time Kramer is playing that role as an extra, and he is just, yes, ma'am. And just hammering on the keyboard as hard as he can, like he's a bad actor, is the point. Like just hammering super hard. So anytime I hear hard hammering, as I told the story, it lost interest even in my own mind. So we can move on.
Well, I think the comedy of it is this. It's like me doing it is funny.
Yeah. But in your case, it was real. That's what was impressive about it.
Okay. Great.
Great. You know, trying things out. Stories.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about Elon Musk today.
Just, yep. No lube. Go.
Left turn. Okay. So.
You mean like a left turn we didn't mean to make, like might happen in a Tesla because it was driving itself without your knowledge? Is that
way to wedge that terribly into nothing?
Yeah, wow, you're down on my comedy today.
I don't have to be down on it if it's just bad.
Wow, again,
that's not me down on it. That's just it's not working. Don't put it on me.
I thought mine was pretty good. So
okay, fair.
Agree to disagree.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
A phrase I hate.
I know. It's always such a, nobody ever agrees.
No, like, it's like, no, I don't agree to disagree. That's the point.
Okay. Here's the thing I want to say about Elon Musk. Something came on the something. Oh, by the way, we should acknowledge the Trump convictions.
Crazy. Historic. Never before happened. Who fucking knows what it means, but it's wild.
Yep.
Literally 34 counts. Not like, oh, yeah, we found you guilty on this technicality, but not guilty on this crime. Just everything.
Now they're going to like take it up to the higher court and the higher court and the higher court.
Of course.
I read about that.
Although the next couple of courts it has to go through are not going to go in his favor.
Really?
Because it's in New York.
Fuck yeah.
I saw things like these are the appeals. And it was like a bunch of like, you know, like
Jews.
Cool young black lady and like a. Yeah. Just like a bunch of folks who are like, nope, sorry, buddy. You're not getting what you think you're getting out of the next couple of levels of court.
Thank God. Thank fucking God. I have hit some new moment where I'm willing again to pray and hope for jail time for him. Like I went through a period of like, I can't handle hoping that good stuff will happen anymore. So I'm just going to surrender fully and be like, well, I'm out of control. Because I mean, in the big picture, that's kind of where we're at all the time. But I find myself being like, oh God, please, let's send the light and the power of the love to you can go ahead and just send him to jail. How about we send him to jail? Like, I don't want him to pay his way out and have an ankle bracelet and still run for president.
Yeah. Well, even in jail, apparently,
no,
might be wrong about this.
That's true.
A, he could,
right?
Because weirdly, felons can't vote, but they could still be elected president. We find this out.
What the fuck?
Crazy. Also, if he goes to prison of some sort, so does the Secret Service that is assigned to him, because ex-presidents have Secret Service for life.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I have not seen anything to refute that, and I've read it in a few places. Might also just be people blowing smoke up their fantastical ass, but
that feels like, how can you sentence innocent people to prison?
Right. I mean, they would be able to come and go and stuff, but they would still be there hanging out to protect him.
Well, that is some shit right there.
So he couldn't get shanked in the yard.
Wild. I bet if he just went to prison, there'd be a bunch of dumbass white fucking
supremacists.
Yeah. Who were gather like, around him. Don't worry.
Yeah. We'll be your Secret Service. Yeah. I don't even know what to think. It's weird times that I don't know.
But that's that. I just wanted to acknowledge it. That happened. Something is not terrible in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Thing number two in the news, some Elon Musk thing came across my face. And I listened to it and was like, you know, usually because I just shut the news out entirely, but I've been more open to hearing some things lately. And I'm like, okay, he's okay. I want to, because I like the challenge of when everybody hates a guy and he's not like raping women or like, you know, putting black people in cages or some crazy shit. I like to push back against the hate just because I like anything that becomes groupthink. I get real like, all right, well, let's examine it. Let's not all become sheeple and just hate Elon Musk, even though he has obvious reasons why. And they're understandable, and he's an eccentric, and he's weird, and he's a billionaire, and people have problems with that. I get it.
Yeah.
I think you have to be that eccentric to think that far outside the box and be willing to take actions as far outside the box as he takes. I'm not condoning any behaviors of Elon Musk that people don't like, whatever those may be to whoever's listening to these words. But what I do appreciate about him is his willingness to just fully think past all the limits and restrictions that most human beings just absolutely stop at. He's like, okay, here's a thing I heard. Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about the people who want to go to Mars and start, like, they're talking about, have you heard this thing where they're like, we could bounce the light of the sun off of huge reflector things around Mars that would then make the sun hit Mars so that plants could grow so that oxygen could exist, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying, if you can, there's a term for it, re-earth Mars or some, it's not re-earth, but something like create Earth on Mars. He's like, you know what you also could do? You could re-earth Earth.
Right.
If you have the capacity to like fix it at that level, why don't you just fix it? Here.
Right.
Like, why are we going to a new place to create the thing we have one of if you have the technology to like fix this?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great point. So that conversation is in the air, and I respect that as a move before I would want anyone to bother with Mars.
Yeah.
However, the fact that he's like willing, I just love a person who's willing to be, I don't love all of him, but I love the part of him that's willing to just be like, I'm going to try to make spaceships. Yeah, let's throw a few of them up there. He's doing that. We don't know the long-term positive impacts that having extra spaceships around could create. We also don't know, like, when you can think outside the box that far and have the means to bring things into being because you are a billionaire, there are real excellent long-term helpful possibilities that come from that. And I have such a, it makes me so sad the degree to which human beings, including myself, how we get so caught in our tininess. Our lives are so tiny. And we're like, well, I can't move outside of Oakland because my friends are there. It's like, that's how this, we keep these little tiny lives when there's a huge world that's possible. And we all keep it a little tiny, which actually I have total respect for because there's good reasons. And I'm including myself in that whiny voice is a mockery of me as well. So when somebody comes along to be like, what box? No, I know you all think I'm an eccentric weirdo. I don't give a fuck. Let's make some rocket ships. Can we not hand it to him for that?
I have so many things to say.
I'm ready.
Letting that thought come out. I totally understand the framework upon which you are operating and saying like, yeah, we should be thinking outside the box and expanding our thinking and going farther than that. I would say in this, in my estimation, there has been nothing that he has thought of that is in any way actually creative or interesting. Making a rocket ship, making a personal rocket ship is a 9-year-old idea.
But what about the Tesla? Pretty good idea.
Had nothing to do with it. No, he bought that idea.
Okay.
He did not invent it. He did not have the idea for it.
Okay.
He had no part in the actual creation of the Tesla.
So how did he make his money?
His money did. He made his money originally because he owned an emerald mine in South Africa. His family, he started with family money.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Now, what he has done is thrown his money aggressively at some good ideas, some bad ideas.
Right.
But the problem with what he's done is he goes, his ego is in the way of his ideas because he didn't have the idea for the Tesla. He saw that it was a good idea, bought it, stole it, took it, all those things, put his name on it, put his name behind it, put his money behind it, and then proceeded to actually make it worse at each level. And that's what he tends to do, is he goes, I'm mad at what's happening on Twitter because my ego has been hurt by it. And so I'm going to buy Twitter and then destroy it. He didn't mean to destroy it. He thinks he's making it better, but it massively collapsed under him. And that's even Teslas are getting worse and worse because.
Wait, what do we mean when we say Twitter collapsed? It's still functioning.
Barely. Twitter lost billions of dollars in value. It is, people fled it. It's probably 50% of its previous usage. Everybody hates it. It's no good anymore. He literally broke some of the code because of his ego saying, no, you got to do this. And that his engineer is saying, actually, you can't change that function because do it.
Mm.
And then,
okay,
because he owns it. So this is the problem with him. He has big ideas, but he has no, because his ego is so insane.
Right.
He actually makes things often worse.
Okay, that's good for me to know. See, I'm uneducated. Because I don't watch.
Yeah. So it's the challenge of like, yes, have big ideas, build a rocket ship.
Right.
But then.
To what end?
But if that rocket ship is literally only there because I have an idea and I want to do it and it's my ego that's doing it, I think.
No, of course. Of course. You don't have to argue. Like, that's not an argument.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just like, I think the point is around like, is that expansive? Is he growing? Is his outside the box thinking actually that? Or is it? You know, building a rocket ship is the idea of a 9-year-old kid.
No, except that no.
He just had the money to do it.
Right, but no 9-year-olds have done it. It's to do it is pretty monumental and pretty fucking hard. And he's done it. So I don't know if it has any practical application or is just him jerking his own rocket, you know. But it's even still, I sort of go like, maybe if he could have one good idea out of 20.
Sure.
And the means to bring it to bear. Like, isn't he also working on, I was under the impression he was working on climate change. Is that not a thing?
I can't speak to that. Mm. I would be surprised because he's also in bed with people like, you know, what's his name? Oh, fucking shit. Brain just stopped working. I mean, he also hangs out with a lot of the sort of contrarians of the world that are anti-climate change and anti-climate knowledge or whatever, you know, like, oh, it's not happening. It's just, that's a hoax. And and also gay people and also trans people are problematic and we shouldn't.
Wait. So he hangs with those people, but do we know what his beliefs are?
I don't know what his beliefs are on climate change. I will be specific about that.
Okay. But we know what his beliefs are about like trans.
He has tweeted mockery of like pronouns and changing of identities and unusual names. And things like that. And then the only reason I know that is because someone tweeted in response, are you fucking kidding me? Your kid's name is X-9.
What is his kid's name?
Oh, what is? I'm going to look it up. Anyway, but that being said.
I still have more to say about it. Like, I hear you. You want to say more?
No, I think I said my, it's just my tempering of the he's this genius who's throwing it out into the world. And I know you also agree with that. Right.
Yeah, I didn't say genius. I just said someone willing to work outside the lines. So when you have an immature, you know, misogynist, racist person who thinks outside the lines, it's not so great.
Then it's dangerous.
Yeah, they do evil shit with it. And that's bad. I guess I'm still, maybe this is, what do you call it? A fool's errand. But I'm sort of waiting for him to like accidentally trip into something cool and like help out. Here's another thing that could happen. I'll wait till you're done.
It's a funny name. The way it reads is X, that symbol that is an A and an E smashed together, A-Roman numeral 412.
Are you kidding?
That's the kid's name. And you pronounce it.
Well,
is it a placeholder?
First of all, my partner is the one that actually mostly came up with the name.
Congratulations to her.
Yeah, she's great at names. I mean, it's just X, the letter X, and then the AE is like pronounced Ash. yeah. And then A12 is my contribution.
Oh, why A12?
Archangel 12, the precursor to the SR-71. Coolest plane ever.
Weird. Okay, so Zai, got it. I hear you. So what I was going to say is, in like, one thing that could happen is he could trip into something good, like idiots that are narcissistic do sometimes.
Sure.
But maybe not. Maybe that's, I'm hoping for, it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But another thing that could happen, though it doesn't look likely, is he could, like in Bill Gates's early career, you know, he got in some trouble. And then the trouble he got into sort of like gave him a wake up call. And then he became like a total philanthropist. And now he's like a very cool philanthropist, as far as I'm concerned. His money is going to really good, really interesting shit. Not only his money, but his time. He flies all over the world all the time and he's leading all these different initiatives to like clean the water in Africa and put toilets in places there aren't toilets. And I mean, he flies all over. I happen to know because several people I follow are like, follow him and have relationships with him and go on trips with him and do podcasts from where he is and stuff. Anyway, I think whatever conspiracy theories there are about Bill Gates are absolute nonsense. That's my personal opinion. So he could pull one of those. He could like grow up through some kind of personal adversity that happens.
Right.
And have a change of heart, wake up and realize, oh, I have all this money. I could like do something good.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
But that's a long shot, but it could happen.
Yeah.
Maybe what we should be doing instead of that is just putting all of our stock in BTS.
Because of their mission on the planet? No, we decried that. No, we didn't. We disproved that mission.
Well, but not really. Not entirely. It just wasn't.
We just simplified it.
Yeah, it wasn't a black and white ism. It was more complicated than it seemed. But
it wasn't as galactic as it sounded.
Maybe. But also, I make that point to make a joke, but also to sincerely say, there's an example of human beings like actively, verbally, out loud saying, we stand for things that are good. You know, you have like a Harry Styles who's coming out and being like,
yeah,
just be kind. How about be kind? Maybe don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have these famous BTS people that are like, we're going to verbally say our whole deal is spreading joy and love and making people feel good and whatever their positivity thing is. And I mean, that's rad.
Yeah.
So like in a real way, maybe the thing to do is, or a thing to do is to point one's energies in the direction of people like that. Though the older I get and the more integration work I do, the more I'm like, I feel like the truest thing, and I'm sort of dropping in to get words about this from past my own opinions and ego and mind are like, is that like, there's this multiplicity that's present all the time. And the Elon Musks can do some good and the Bill Gateses can do some good and the BTSs can do some good. And there's challenge, there's gives and takes to everybody's contribution. You know what I mean? There's like,
yeah.
In other words, it's not like there's one way to proceed that is good and right.
Yeah.
And I do think we wind up getting into a lot of binary thinking on both sides of every aisle when we think there is.
Right. Yeah. Like even when you were saying, oh, he's doing good things for the climate, my mind, because I've cast him as the villain, that's probably not true, is what I say right away in my head. Right.
Is what?
When you said, I say in my head, I say, that's probably not true without actually checking.
Oh, sure.
Like he might be doing all this terrible shit and then also doing good things for the climate. But I assume because of I have
your bias,
you know, what I've read, my bias is that's probably not true. It may be. Yeah.
That's my point. And that's why I wanted to talk about it today is that we put people in boxes from like the smallest whiff of an emotional reaction to a headline.
Yeah.
You know, and but you're, to be fair to you in this conversation, you've looked at this more than just headlines, I think.
Yeah. I've read some articles. So I did headline and article. Yeah.
Okay. And so those people, we have to look at their biases and where they're
right.
coming from and all of that. And who has time or energy for that? Nobody. But I think if we can all keep in mind how easily we just categorize a thing as good or bad based on like a whim, on like a whiff of a rumor that we get.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I don't think it's that simple. And then there are things like Trump that are that simple.
Yeah. I mean, well, and that's a multiplicity. It's not a whiff of a rumor. It's multiple and it's repeated and it's
right.
And that's the same. I mean, so that's why my my response with Elon Musk is actually, no, it's not just, oh, I don't like him because this one thing he did.
Yeah.
Or because I smelled this bad smell near him one time.
Yeah.
No, there's multiple levels of this and then this and then this and then this. And then you start to go, okay, that's a long list that I've had. I honestly have just not, maybe I haven't been exposed to it, but can't, the pro list is just, I don't see it yet. I haven't been shown many of the pros, only the cons.
I'm just ignorant on this topic. So like, I think that's just, you can't, there's no arguing with that. Like once there's just evidence on top of evidence, it's just, that's what it is. But
yeah,
I think even still, I would, I mean, like, have you looked at any of the stuff Bill Gates? Do you happen to know about what he's up to?
I know a little bit about like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the, and I know he's, the stuff you've talked about, I haven't like read up on it.
Yeah. Anyway.
I believe you. So.
Yeah. No, he's just, all of this could be fabricated. I just don't think it is, but just the, I'm a big fan of, and this is 1,000% because of my own life experience, someone who fully changes. Like I love when we get to see like a redemption of a human.
Love that.
It's a really big, cool thing.
I kind of love anyone who literally becomes a billionaire and then does whatever they can actually to sort of drop below that mark. Because like this is a personal bias, but I have that threshold, like, oh, you're a 900 millionaire. I'm okay. It's a little much, but okay. Maybe take it back a peg. You're a billion. No, like billionaires shouldn't exist is what I think in my heart.
Yeah.
As soon as you become a billionaire, you give 100 million of it back to the world.
Yeah.
Drop below that mark.
Mm. Why that number?
It's just easy because it's easy to say eat the rich when you have a billionaire. It's totally just a gut, not well thought out thought. I actually should probably put the mark at like 500 million if I'm going to be that way about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if instead of vilifying the billionaires, we've talked about this before, by the way, on here, but I'll just say it again.
Yeah.
What if instead of making it wrong to be a billionaire, you say, hey, billionaires, please put X number of these dollars into good stuff.
Right.
Because then you could have as many billionaires as you want and they're doing cool stuff with it. Maybe it's like once you become a billionaire, you're required.
Yes.
Somehow.
That's my point. And that's why it's like, give us a threshold upon which to say you actually, I think because I believe that in order to become a billionaire, you've had to literally extract more than could possibly be your share from the collective.
Mm.
Because there is a finite number of dollars in existence.
Mm.
And in order to become a billionaire, you have pulled that amount out of the collective. So there's just, I like a billionaire more than a millionaire, I feel like has literally taken it kind of weirdly out of my pocket.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
We had this debate a long time ago.
We did. We got deep into this one.
And I thought I had a little bit of an impact on you, but I guess I was wrong. Because you've moved your needle none percent. But
I thought I had an impact on you.
I know. I was just going to say that. To be fair, I haven't changed at all because I just know differently from like the consciousness perspective, but I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Like I get that perspective and I agree to disagree.
Right. No, mathematically, you can't argue with me. Spiritually, you're right. Mathematically, I'm right.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't agree with that either, but I hear you.
I mean, if there are 25 things in the world and you have 24 of them and I have one of them.
Right. Yeah, but you can print.
You
can make more things.
But you only need, no, you can't. Not with money.
But they do.
But they don't.
But they do.
No, trickle-down economics has been proven completely to be an utter and complete horseshit. It doesn't work.
Right.
So it doesn't exist.
But you literally can print more money.
Sure, but then you just have inflation.
Uh-huh.
That's not how financially, if there are billionaires, then there are more poor people. That's how money operates.
Mm-hmm.
The more money that goes here, the less money that exists at this end of the spectrum. So the more.
I don't want to have this argument again. So can we pause? I don't.
Sure.
Want to do this.
Yeah. It's just because it's literally mathematically, it's not an argument.
I understand.
Yeah.
But you're going to say all of that again, which we already did. And then I'll say back to you all the reasons why I disagree and you'll still disagree. So, and I'll still disagree. So there's no point in doing
right.
what we're doing.
You're right. Right.
So let's just not.
Okay.
Instead, what we should do is refer people to the episode.
I don't know which one it was.
I don't either. But I'm saying, if anyone wants to hear two people have this argument, we've had it already before. So please listen to that episode. It was a good one. I think it's a good conversation to have. I just, since we've had it, I just have no.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like listening to all of it again and hear, making my points again. I just don't care. I think I don't care enough. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, I think we're talking about two different things. You're talking spiritually. I'm talking money.
But I don't see those two things as separate. It's all one energy. So this is another part of the argument we've already had that I don't want to have again. We talked about how it's not separate from my perspective. And you're like, no, but mathematically, according to reason and logic, it is. And I'm like, cool, we disagree. And I'm not going to win. And I'm never going to agree with you. So like, we don't need to do this.
Okay.
I don't think.
It's a moot point as to what we're actually talking about anyway.
What do you mean?
No, we don't need to agree because we're really talking more about philosophically other stuff. I just got high and mighty about billionaires for a second, and then we got off on this track. So
yeah, so that's because I don't think the things I don't think. I think you could turn a billionaire, you could have a billionaire do really good stuff. I don't think billionaires, people are vilifying the people that made the money. It's not that. That's not the problem. The problem is like, where are they at emotionally? Like to your point about Elon, like where are they at?
Yeah.
And then, so the point is not, don't make people have money that's a lot of numbers. The point is like, help people grow the fuck up so maybe they can make good choices with their money.
Better choices with it, yeah.
That's like a thing we could have impact on. When you try to say like, no, you can't hold that many dollars in one place. I just go, sure you can. Like, what do you mean? You're never gonna stop people from wanting more. But like, you could stop people from badly doing stuff with it. If you were somehow, this is another thing, like, can you able to impact people and do some kind of good in a way that would make them grow, which is what I've spent my entire life trying to do.
Right.
I realize there's like five people who actually want to.
Yeah. And in my mind, if you make people grow,
yeah,
they will no longer want or need to be billionaires. I'll bet you.
I don't know about that. See, I think we're talking from two different perspectives. See, to me, this comes back to human design because you have a lot of collectivism in your chart.
Right.
And I have a lot of individual circuitry in my chart. So like we're arguing for the lenses through which we see reality.
Right.
Why these arguments, any of these things start to get really like, from my perspective, it's like, it's sort of like saying if you're a tiger and I'm a, what do tigers eat?
I don't know.
Mouse?
Tigers eat mice.
Okay.
Cats. I don't know. House cats.
Okay.
Tiger's a cat. It wouldn't need another cat, probably. Go ahead. It's a mouse.
If you're a tiger and I'm a mouse, and the mouse is always going to say, bigger things shouldn't eat us. And the bigger thing is going to go, bigger things have to eat you or we die. So you're never going to, they're just seeing through two different lenses. So there's no way to like agree. And I think the idea that we all have to agree is sort of fallacious as well. In other words, if you have a ton of collective circuitry, right? Your thing is like caring about the collective and that is real for you and you work for that and you invest in that and your life is about that. And if you don't, you invest and believe in other things. So then it's like,
I only have one point about that. And this is, and it's not, it's, and it's different than what I was saying before about you removed from the group.
Yeah.
A tiger is not going to ever want to have 2,000 dead mice in its store because it doesn't need it.
Uh-huh.
A tiger would love to have plenty of mice.
Okay.
But once it got more mice than it could ever possibly eat in its entire lifetime,
right,
need, want, or eat, it would not want that. It would not serve it in any way to have that. And it would be like, oh, God damn, this is some stinky ass. These mice are rotting in my basement. So that's the thing about like, it's like more than you could possibly ever want or need. So it's serving something else than need.
I don't know.
It's serving ego or it's serving.
Maybe, but here's an example.
Serving power or it's serving something else.
But that's an assumption too, I think. Because I was listening to a young billionaire. I guess there's like 20 billionaires that are under the age of 30.
Uh-huh.
And then there's four of them that didn't come from wealth.
Right.
They're like quote unquote self-made. And they were interviewing one of the four. And the guy was like, so what do you do now? You got all the money. And he was like, money was never the thing. I have projects I do, and I happened to do really well with like 8 of them, and they turned into $1 billion. And I'm sorry people are mad at me for my business is doing well. Now what I do is try to help the world, because what else am I doing?
Right.
So to me, it's like, you can't assume every person that has.
Right. If he's moving that money continually and it's constantly flowing and giving and ebbing, then he has grown. Yeah.
Well, he didn't even need to grow. He just had businesses that did well, and he wasn't aiming to be a billionaire. You're saying it necessarily comes from some ego thing or some other place that isn't good. And I'm saying, well, maybe not. Like, this guy seems, I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know the reality.
Right. And we don't know what businesses he did to get right. there.
He's an example of the possibility that exists where a person could be like, oh, wow, look how well this went.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I have $1 billion. Well, I guess maybe we'll plant some trees in the Sahara or whatever needs to happen on Earth.
Right.
So I don't think that kid, he's also like 27. He's not evil. He's just a guy who did well at stuff who's now cool with it. So I don't like assuming that because a person gets to a place that means necessarily we know why.
Right.
But I think you're also right that a lot of them are kooky pants.
Right. There's, yeah.
But like, even look at Paris Hilton. She's a billionaire now, and she does a lot of cool shit. And she's a billionaire because of weird nonsense. I mean, it's nonsense. But
it is nonsense. Gives a fuck,
because she grew up, and now she has this whole thing about like children and these programs that she went through. You know her whole story?
Yeah, like she actually kind of got cultified or something.
No, it's really rough. Like her parents. I'll do the short backstory. I've watched like all her documentaries and all the things about her. But her parents had her essentially kidnapped in the middle of the night several different times. She was going to clubs and acting out and being a young rich kid.
Right.
So they had her kidnapped by this several different kid reform programs where they take you off into the woods and they like turn you into a good kid or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, like boot campy.
Yeah, like when you go to boarding school.
Rich kids get put in rich spoiled kids have to go build on a ranch or some shit like that.
Well, it's like when you have to go to boarding school because your grades are so bad, so they send you away. But this is like next level after boarding school where they're including theoretically behavioral training. Well, it turns out most of these organizations were filled with underpaid, abusive people that were beating these kids, starving them, sexually abusing them. She herself was she was raped and molested and beaten and put in, what are they called? Solitary and starved and all kinds of shit. So she kept escaping from them because they were torture chambers and nobody would believe her. So she came out and was like, you know what? I'm dissociating away from that pain, not dealing with it. And I'm going to be famous on TV and make $1 billion. And because then that'll save me. Right.
Right.
She does that. She comes out and she makes The Simple Life like immediately with Nicole Richie, and then has her whole thing that we watched with selfies. She like invented the selfie, and like she is Paris Hilton. Right.
Right.
Well, one day she starts to like do some trauma work because she's realized, oh, I have all the money in the world and I'm all fucked up. What's going on with me? So she asks a question and she goes to therapy and she realizes I have buried years and years and years of torture trauma because I didn't want my mom to feel bad about sending me there.
Right.
So then she reveals it all, tells everyone. Now she's written a bill and she's gotten a law passed and she's leads a foundation and she's put hundreds of millions of dollars she's shut down like 4 of these programs. She's exposed people for actually what they're actually doing, like proven it, not just like I said so, but like got entire things shut down that were like abusing and raping kids. And like that opened her mind to like, wow, also other problems in the world. And now she does all this cool shit while still being a weird blonde DJ mogul of that's hot. She's also like an intelligent woman that grew up.
Right.
And like learned, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. And if you listen to her talk about it, I was listening to an interview a couple of days ago. And she comes in and out of her high-pitched voice. And the interviewer says, like, I noticed that sometimes you go into the Paris Hilton way of talking. And then you like have this deeper voice that you drop out of. And she's like, yeah, it's something I'm working on in therapy. because it was something I did unconsciously at the time to create this like persona that I was living into on television and everywhere. And she said it was totally part of the trauma and it was a dissociative pattern. So now I like force myself to come into my belly and speak from my voice. But like, I have to think about it because it takes over and it takes me, but it's part of my work I'm doing. I can't love anything more than that. This bitch could have just ridden her star till she was dead and been a vapid, learned nothing, made billions of dollars and just made more billions of dollars. But she fucking didn't.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's, you know.
And to your life, it's like what you've spoken of a lot. It's like, sounds to me like she couldn't help it at a certain point. There was so much trauma that it surfaced and she went, oh, I have to fucking deal with this shit.
Yeah.
Thank God she did. Yeah.
But like, what else are we hoping for with people?
Nothing. Like, that's it. That's the good shit.
That's what I mean.
And sounds like she's doing good work with her influence and power.
That's what I mean. I think, in other words, I have a real distaste for when we just out of hand put a group of people into bad zone. When you can look at individual people doing different things with their money, for example. Like you have a Harvey Weinstein who makes a fuck ton of money and is a disgusting disgrace of a human.
Yeah.
And then you have Paris Hilton who just was young and fucked up and grew up and did her trauma work. Like, I don't know, it's pretty great.
Although I might say if she invented the selfie, she might be singularly responsible for the decline of the Western empire at this point.
I think.
Being dramatic. Because just where we are now with like, how far we've gone off this sort of cliff, this awful lemming cliff of like short form everything. It all goes back to the selfie.
Well, but if it goes back to the selfie, then what it really goes back to is technology. It goes back to the phone.
Sure.
So that's the technologist. So who are we mad at there? Who's the individual's fault that is?
The Apple guy.
Right. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. He's dead. He can't defend himself.
Well, I think this is my point, though, is that anyone you vilify, it's like, I don't know. I guess it would be an interesting question to ask an historian. Like, I'd like to ask someone who knows about, like, were there singular people throughout history, like maybe Hitler, right? Where you could say, had there not been a Pol Pot or a Hitler, like the entire tide of where we are as a race would not have been turned in this some example of a negative direction. You know what I mean? Like, are there people who really, it was like that guy, had he not done that thing?
Right.
And it's interesting because I'll tell you, my dad and I had this conversation. You know, I'm still out here visiting him. I see the shortest way to talk about this. He was, oh boy, this is some shit. This is some deep shit right here. My dad has a perspective. My dad can be also a bit of an alarmist. He wouldn't agree with that, but that's my perspective.
Most alarmists wouldn't. They're realists.
Exactly. That's what he would say.
Just saying it how it is.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's also a five and does like a fuck ton of research, but that can also be dangerous because you live alone and you're researching all the time. It's like,
yeah. And everyone thinks they're an expert researcher, but who knows at what point are you getting what information from what source that you then follow in confirmation bias, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So his perspective is something along the lines of, I mean, his perspective is within 4 years, we will be at war with China.
Uh-huh.
And that war will happen because China insists on taking Taiwan. And then we send boats over to the ports in Taiwan and we're bombing their boats and they're bombing our boats. And then they stop sending us goods and we stop sending them money. And nobody can, it'll be like COVID again in the sense of like, you can't get a widget for your phone because they're all made in China. So like, supply chain will be pretty fucked up for like a bunch of years. No real estate will sell, you know, the economy will just be like really problematic for a while until the war ends. So he thinks that's like an inevitability. And so I am not saying I think that is an inevitability. I did think it was an interesting idea. And he can talk at length about it. Anyway, because of that, he was researching, like, how did all that start? He was trying to, like, trace it back to, like, what's the beginning of the things. And his conclusion is the Clinton administration, and he is a liberal, I should say this out loud, but my dad, he says that it's all traceable back to the Clinton administration and how they made a choice that, from his perspective, he's like, I don't know how you make this choice and don't see the very obvious problem. So the choice, theoretically, according to Bob Rubin, one guy who we probably shouldn't listen to, was globalization.
Right.
Meaning there was some decisions that were made, I guess, during that administration to empower China. We like helped them out because they were fucked in some financial ways that maybe you know more about than I do. But we helped them out with under the idea that if we gave them all this money and we helped them deal with their infrastructure problems, they would become a democracy. And this was a Clinton idea. He was like, if we fund them and support them, they'll get rid of communism and become a democracy.
Right.
Which is like a very idealistic pie in the sky.
Yeah. Kind of. We'd already passed Tiananmen Square where they tried and got slaughtered for trying to be democracy.
So whatever happened then and all the support we gave them then led them to become what they are now economically. And now there's like a megalomaniacal crazy person in power who has killed off all of the people in his own administration that would ever say anything useful to him. Like, hey, here's what's really going on. He just kills them all. And apparently he's worse than Putin and he's worse than Pol Pot. And he's a big fucking bad dude. And so now he's living in his castle on a cloud, out of touch with what's going on in the streets because he's killed anyone that would tell him what's going on. And he's doing all the behaviors that a country would do if they were preparing for war. So like you sell off certain bonds and you buy gold and you don't have this and you start embargoing things from the United States. And he's doing all that shit, theoretically, that is like in preparation for all of the economy to stop functioning. So the idea that you could trace all of China's problems back to choices that Bill Clinton made, like, or I should say the Clinton administration made, that conversation we had, it's just got me thinking about that idea, like big decisions that then turn the tide of everything for everyone.
Yeah.
It's like pretty interesting to think about.
Well, yeah. I mean, and most of the time it's obviously unforeseen or it's the unforeseen result of something.
The last part of it, and then I want to hear you, is he was saying that the part that they didn't see was that they they sent all of the manufacturing to China. That's how they, quote, quote, helped China. And then they almost ended like...
Which destroys our own economy. Yeah.
Correct. So he's like, I don't know how they missed that that would be bad for us. And I'm like, well, it must have been some political thing where they like got some other benefit that was more selfish. Like somebody... One on the America side by sending all that to...
I hate to be obvious, but I'm not going to say billionaires, but I just did. Probably, though, some heads of some corporate interests,
yeah.
Some massive corporate interests were served by that decision 100%.
Right.
Because if we offload it over there, because we have to spend too much to do it here, and I can get it cheaper now, and now I can... My stock is raised and we are the ones who actually have the influence, if I'm going to be really paranoid. And the people and the guy who works at a manufacturing plant in Sheboygan has no influence. And the guy who owns a corporation that needs the items that are going to be made there,
right,
but wants to be made cheaper, he has all the influence. And so that's why it got done.
That makes total sense. But even given that, why would they not understand? I guess they just didn't give a shit would be maybe the assumption. Even if, in other words, clearly there's corporate interest. That's like the reason you make that decision. Okay. But you have to also like notice that that's going to put all your people out of work. So like, what do you do with that? You just like pretend that's not a problem?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same as the climate change. It's like the only way that, you know, Exxon can continue doing what Exxon is doing is to say, nuh-uh, even though they... 100% without question know it.
Yeah.
But they have to, they can't, if they want their thing to continue, they have to just do this thing.
Right.
Because in order to acknowledge that it's not going to last forever would be to acknowledge that it's not going to last forever. And you can't do that. So you just, I mean, it's, I continue to order from Amazon all the time, even though I hate them and know.
Yeah.
And I just saw another thing about how when you do returns at Amazon, it just goes into a dumpster and it's not actually a...
Right. No, of course.
Fuck.
And also like you know, I eat pizza and I shouldn't, you know.
There's the all the levels of our own delusion is.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's Rami. I don't really have a plan for what I'm going to say right now. I'm about to get on a plane and leave the country for 2 weeks. You're not hearing this in real time. Yesterday, Trump was found guilty on all counts, and now I'm going to leave the country, and whatever happens here for the next 2 weeks, I will be receiving my news with a different perspective, which is always very illuminating. I'm thinking about the other big American news stories that happened while I was in another part of the world, like the mortgage crash in 08, the Al Gore George W. election debacle. Cassidy and I were in England, actually. And We were doing a children's theater tour, just two people, with a small truck and all of our sets and costumes and props, traveling around the English countryside, performing plays in schools for children. It was delightful. Anyway, the day when the Supreme Court finally named George W. the president, there was a paper that on the front cover said, "Congrats, W. P.S. We are here," and had an arrow pointing to where the UK was, because, you know, they all thought of him as so stupid and having no knowledge of, like, international affairs. True, you know. Which is true. What else? I want to say the OJ chase. I don't think I was out of the country, actually. I think I was just at circus camp. Anyway, I'm very concerned about what's happening in our country and the world, of course, too. And this moment yesterday, this moment of a jury not having to take too long to say that Trump was guilty is, yeah, okay, maybe it's not going to change much, but at least it's a tiny, tiny breath of, what do I want to say? Validation or just a moment of like, okay, there are still humans. There are still humans. Despite whatever happens next, this was a moment where there were people with common sense and they still got to say something. And so I am keeping that in my heart, remembering this moment, despite whatever happens next. And thinking about when I get back, and I don't mean when I get back to the U.S. because I'm going to be doing a show somewhere else for 5 months, but when I get back home to Brooklyn in mid-October, just thinking about how to prepare for what might happen after that, what might happen during and after the election. And I've always been someone who I just kind of live in the moment and trust in the universe a lot, which is lovely. It's great. It's great. I'm not going to lie. I'm just running around, do-do-do, catch me, you know, and things tend to work out. And that is, I'm very, very blessed, and that just is my particular path. Anyway, so trying to lean into um, trying to lean into someone who has, well, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I'm trying to lean into my 6 and think about the future and think about strategies and plans and figure those out with my other loved ones in Brooklyn, how to find each other if we don't have access to the grid, or, you know, power is cut off, or there are people with guns in the streets, or, you know, who knows. But just like trying to just be a little bit pragmatic and make plans for the future just in case, you know. So that's something I'm going to be thinking about. It's hard for me. So I'm going to be doing a lot of brainstorming with others, with other loved ones. Rami's rules.
Maybe this is relevant, but it's from earlier in the conversation to today. There's a tying up thing. And in science, there's a thing called the cautionary principle.
Okay.
They're supposed to be. And here's the deal. And this is, I got this from my dad a long time ago. He was getting really frustrated because he's, you know, at heart, he is a scientist and a researcher. So, and basically the cautionary principle says just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Simple as that. Before you take irrevocable action on some form of discovery or thing, splitting the atom, anything like that, you do everything in your power to figure out whether that should be done for other reasons. So just because you can make just because you can make more economical power, but you might destroy the planet at the same time, so don't. Or just because you can make a bigger bomb, but then that's going to mean da-da-da-da. But we don't adhere to it, but there's this underlying concept of the cautionary principle.
Yeah.
But the problem with the cautionary principle is it limits what you were talking about at the very beginning of today's episode.
Possibility. Yeah.
Because you can't possibly know what everything shall be. So if you really adhere to the cautionary principle, you don't do anything.
So the thing I'm saying in an extreme application of it is a problem.
Yeah.
But and the thing you're saying, the cautionary principle in an extreme application is a problem.
Yeah.
Like everything in an extreme, direction is a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the out of hand judgment of a group of people, even though they're people who have, you know, whatever the group of people is.
Yeah.
An out of hand judgment of them doesn't take into consideration, like, they're not all the way at the end of the spectrum of terrible. It's just not likely.
Yeah.
The numbers don't even add up.
I have a thing, though, with that where it's like, they can take it. In the same way that, like, when people say fucking men are garbage, I'm like, yep, they are. And I'm fine with that. And I can operate with that knowledge and do things to make sure that I am not garbage.
Right.
And or white people or men. Or so in my mind, it's like Bill Gates, whatever, he can hear eat the rich, billionaires are evil. And he can go, yeah, I you're kind of right. So I'm going to do all these other things.
I see.
You know what I mean? Rather than, oh, if we insult them, then they won't do good things.
No, that's not.
Which I don't think that's what you're saying. But
no.
Like, why not vilify a class of people if they can if the vilification actually might help push them in the right direction?
I think that's fair. I think it's more about the thinking. Our thinking is every human individual in this group over here is necessarily bad and necessarily got there because of they did ego-based bullshit bad things.
Right.
That is a dangerous way to think, because that way of thinking plays out not just in that one little thing in your life,
but everything.
Yes. It's like we have that thinking is the whole thing that liberals are mad at.
Right. You have pink hair, so you must be this.
Exactly.
You're a billionaire, so clearly that means this.
You're a trans person, so that must mean this. Or you fuck men and you're a man, so you shouldn't be able to marry him. Like, what?
Yeah.
So I think that's the problem, is the thinking is the same. It's just in two different directions. So like, it's not any better just because it's coming from a liberal perspective. Like, we have to just police ourselves, I think, a little bit on the group think of the group cast. What's the word I want? Condemnation of group.
Castigation. Can I say that billionaire Elon Musk is kind of a piece of shit?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you could say Elon Musk is a piece of shit. No problem. And now, thank you, by the way, for educating me about more of his piece of shitness. Yeah. I was uneducated on that one.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. And I agree, like any kind of fully exclusive thinking is no good for anybody. You can't, yeah. You just can't do it. It doesn't serve.
Yeah.
And in his case, it is his wealth that is part of the problem of him, because it is his wealth that he has used to do his badness.
I just would say the wealth was never the problem. The problem is how he was raised, which you could say, yeah, but he was raised that way because of wealth.
Yeah.
At some point, everything comes back to a parent said to a kid, either you're an entitled princess, you can do whatever the fuck you want, or no, we have money, but you're going to work.
Or they didn't love you and give you all the love you wanted.
There you go.
They can fuck you up in so many ways, Katie.
Exactly.
They can give you too much love and give you not enough love.
Yeah, like I like the...
How do you thread that needle?
I think that's the point. That's the needle we're trying to thread, not people shouldn't have X number of dollars in their possession.
Yeah.
It's like maybe work on yourself. Maybe don't have kids if you're a fucking narcissist, although of course they will, because
that's the what's who's gonna, well, that, I was about to step in a big pile of shit there. That's who has kids is what I almost said. Be clear, not all people who have kids are narcissists by any stretch of the imagination.
That's clear. But your point is, if you're a narcissist and I tell you not to have kids, that's, you're gonna not listen because yeah. I don't, yeah.
Wow, what if I claimed that the act of having children is purely narcissistic?
People have claimed it.
Yeah.
It's been claimed. If I finally, it took me a long time, I think, to realize, this is revealing my own, very narrow lens and very like entitled perspective. But for a lot of my life, I thought it was only a selfish act and I didn't understand the biology of it,
right?
Like the biological imperative, like our biology drives so much. And I've been forced to, wrestle with my biology harder than the average bear, maybe. So I was all cocky about whatever. But if you have a totally different life track than mine,
yeah,
right, which most humans do, like it's like, you know, I'm one tiny lady. Anyway, it's like, I think there's something I've just come to have such a different perspective on that. It's like saying to trees, don't grow taller. They're gonna. That's what they do.
Yeah.
To say to people like you're self-involved for having a kid. Well, some people who have kids do it for crazy fucked up reasons. I wish they didn't.
I mean, the human race as a whole, as an organism, is self-involved. It is a selfish act on the part of the organism that is the human race to reproduce.
Right. Like it has to be for survival. Like, yeah, any arguments that are like, but that's selfish, always make me go, yeah, but how do you survive if you don't focus on yourself? There's got to be some self-awareness.
Dude, that's been my struggle through most of my life because I always have to like say, well, I know this is being a little selfish, but like, because I didn't think you were allowed to be selfish because being selfish is a negative thing.
Right. Yeah. And then you wind up all fucked up like Cassidy Brown and nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No. Well, cool. We talked about Elon Musk and I learned some stuff and okay, that was that. I'm trying to think if I had anything else I wanted to talk about. Not really, but I did want to pull some cards.
Are you not interested in going into his records now that we had that?
Oh,
you had originally in the text to me had been like, "Ooh, let's go into his records."
Hmm.
And then I have that question. I think we talked about this, but I have honestly, I'm just going to say I forgot what the response was.
Yeah.
What is the ethics of the idea of going into someone's records without their?
Yeah, we have talked about it, but it's like basically like theoretically, you should never go into anyone's records so you don't have their permission to go into their records. What I tend to find is if I ask, is it ethically okay to go into this person's records? I'll get a yes and a no. And sometimes it surprises me.
Right. So you get the universal permission as opposed to the individual permission.
Yeah. Which universal voice tells me that sometimes we don't get to do that.
Uh-huh.
But other times we do. And right now it's like, no, you can't open his records.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. That makes
sense. I'm like, oh,
that's easy.
My bad.
We should totally pull some cards. I love it.
Yeah. I wonder, I wish people would.
I do want to say, Katie.
Yeah.
Now you have me. I'm chewing all the ideas over in my mind. I just want to acknowledge that. I want to thank you for planting some things to chew on in my head. Just the idea of like universal condemnation and the idea of that billionaires can be good people too. And I know that. I've always known that. But I just want to acknowledge that, yes, some thoughts got through this thick skull of mine today.
Oh, well, that's great. I hear you. Thanks. Yeah. And I'm mine too, because I started with like, look at all the good Elon Musk could do. now I'm like,
whoops. And I kind of shit on that pretty good.
So I totally hear you. That's super cool. I wonder if, so I've been thinking about, I don't know if, I'll just ask, I guess. It's like, whenever we do this thing where we pull cards for people, but the fucking episode doesn't air for 2 weeks after we pull the card.
Right. And that's going to be this case because we're a week behind.
I mean, we could ask Desmond to release this one first, but even still, it's the, okay, so let me ask this. Can we pull cards that will be relevant to our audience in 2 weeks? Yes. Is that worth doing? No. Okay. Are there cards worth pulling today? Yes. Okay. Whose? We could pull cards about the current Trump thing. That's interesting. Like what's happening, what's been happening, what is happening, and what's coming around the corner for the country with regard to Trump's? Yes. For Trump himself? No. So it would be a three-card spread for the country, maybe for the world, the collective, the country. Okay, so we'd be pulling a three-card spread for the country about what's happening with Trump's thing.
Convictions.
Yeah.
While you were asking those questions,
yeah.
I did do a little Googling. I'm just going to put in, Musk does have a SpaceX prize or something. It's not SpaceX. It's a something else X prize because he loves that letter X. Big fan of that letter X.
Weird.
That's so bro. And around removing carbon from the atmosphere, like which means like if someone can come up with a thing, he'll give them $100 billion or something. And he is a big fan of carbon taxing, which is a debatable, but at least it is something.
Okay, I feel you. So he's doing a thing.
So he acknowledges that the climate change is an issue. And he has done some things in that direction. So.
All right. Very cool. All right. Okay. We're not going to outright say, therefore he's good.
No. Nope.
Or therefore he's bad.
But I was putting him with like Jordan Peterson, who would argue against the, well, you know, well, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's a poll we could do. We could also do a more personal one closer to home, but I get to know someone we know. You have any, is anything pinging you or should I just do that?
No, I think that's a good one because also it'll probably still be good in 2 weeks. It's not as immediate.
I think you're right. Okay. Apparently we're using the Enchanted Oracle, the Enchanted Map Oracle cards, Colette Baron Reed, this bitch here. By the way, not that you're on the edge of your seat about this, but I stopped doing three card spreads for the people, which I was doing twice a week for a couple years. I stopped a couple months ago. I had no energy for it. And it came back and I did my first.
I saw it.
I know. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I did my first one this Sunday and they're going to be back where they always were. And you can find them on Facebook, on my Facebook and on my Instagram and on TikTok because my mojo has returned.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm just going to expand a little bit here. And so we're asking for a three card spread from consciousness about the past of the Trump nonsense, the present of the Trump convictions, and the future impact of the Trump convictions or jail time or whatever on the country at large. Like, if I were to simplify it, it would be like, how do we frame what's been happening, what is happening, and what's coming re-Trump's trials? And I have the cards. Okay, this is cool. Wow. Okay, well, do we ever, when we say we should post this image or this link with the thing, do we ever actually do it?
Probably not.
Okay, well, here.
I don't think so. Might go into the show notes sometimes.
Okay.
But that means we have to send the picture to Desmond.
I'm going to show this here. This is the movement card, is the recent past. The present moment is the storm fields.
Okay.
And the outcome is the magical map shifter.
Cool.
Very cool card. Okay.
While we're talking about it, take your phone right now. Take an overhead shot of that.
All right. Send it to Desmond.
And send it at least to our chat, to our WhatsApp. Because if we don't do it right now, we'll forget and we won't do it.
You are right. All right. So, shoop-a-dee-boop-boo. This is a pretty cool spread. I mean, I know these cards pretty well, but we'll read them through. I'm sending the image right now. There it is.
Are you at your dad's house right now?
Yeah.
It is so clearly a Southwest house, even though it's just a room. There's just something even about the shape of the door.
Yeah.
That tells me that's the Southwest.
So all this art is Susan's art, my dad's wife who passed.
Ah, it's really nice.
I know. She's a very talented painter. And then this is a Buddhist mandala painting.
Nice.
Butterflies here. Anyway, this was her.
Frida. There's, yep.
This is her painting studio. And I'm bringing some of the easels back that were hers for staging.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes you can like make a room be the art room when you're staging.
Nice.
Any hoozle. Okay, so in the recent past of the whole Trump shebang bang, we have the movement card. And I'm getting a lot of intel as I'll read the words and then I'll give what I'm getting here. So in the recent past, this is a time for positive momentum as you come out of a period of restriction. You're in a stage of new adventure and discovery. You may feel compelled to take a trip, change your hair, or move your home or business. Regardless, you can't remain where you are anymore. You feel compelled to go forward. No matter what your inquiry, you'll see your dreams take form and doors previously shut begin to open as if by magic. Movement is also a state of mind. The fog lifts and you now know the actions you need to take. This isn't the time for fear. Let it go and move forward. Okay, so the way I'm hearing this is like, you know, whatever you think about him, he instigated movement in the past during his time, right, of where he was in power. He got people to get up and move and do stuff. Now, if you're on his side, he got people to, what's the word, mobilize.
March on Washington. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, mobilize in the name of his weird ideas. But if you're on a side opposing him, it got people to realize it's like the Jungian idea we talked about when he got elected, which was the collective shadow was repressed. You know, the anti-Semitic folks and the racists were a little buried in our collective denial. Then they became clear. It's like when you pop the pus, you know, the boil, the pus comes out. We talked about this then, actually. So his being, his coming into power, ignited awareness on the side opposing him of just how dark it really is and just how much work really needs to be done. And it brought the shadow to the foreground. That's actually positive movement. A lot of people don't like that idea, but it is, because when you anything buried in the shadow that you can't or won't see, as we've seen for ourselves personally, working through our work here publicly on the podcast, if you can't see it or you won't see it, you can't change it.
Yeah.
So that's the movement we're talking about in the past that his being and his presence and his power moments instigated. The present moment is storm fields.
Stormy fields. Stormy Daniels fields.
And uncomfortable chaos is surrounding you. Things that you've left unattended may be the cause of some conflict. Pent-up energy needs release, just as a storm in nature must break. For these events occur when the electricity between opposing forces stirs things up and creates temporary disorder. That's the thing we're talking about. The shadow comes up and it creates disorder. Not all storms are destructive. Rather, they serve nature by bringing rain to the ground and wind to the trees, enabling seeds to be widely distributed and continuous growth to be ensured. Just remember that whatever is being stirred up inside you or between you and another will benefit you later. This supports the whatever's happening to you is happening for you idea. The sun will shine again and new growth will be observed. Don't be afraid to shake things up a little or a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels pretty on the fucking nose.
Right. I mean, that can be also about the prosecutors and the trial. You know, they're not, you know what? Fuck it. We're not going to be afraid to just get in there. Our lives are going to be threatened. We're going to do our thing. We're just going to get in there. We're going to shake things up.
Yep.
We're going to finally hold someone's feet to the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And the outcome is the magical map shifter card, which very interesting. Let's hear what she says about that. The outcome. And this is for what chunk of time? 3 years. Okay. Spirit orchestrates everyone's destiny. When the magical mapshifter card arrives, it comes with a mission to make you aware of the people who come into your life to impact your personal growth. Perhaps you may meet a soulmate whose presence invites you to be the best you that you can be, or someone who leads you out of difficulty and into a place of safety or success. Pay attention to those individuals who cross your path today and cause you to reflect on your journey. Be awake and aware, and you'll recognize them for the important change agents they are. Your whole perspective about who you are and why you're here will shift. The magical map shifter always initiates you into a better version of yourself. And so it's like, what figure shows up in the judicial landscape, political landscape, to have an impact on this situation? And or what person or people show up in his reality to give him a new perspective? That's weird that I would even say that, because I personally, as a person, would never think, like, with everything I know about narcissists, like, you don't go.
You don't have an impact.
Yeah, you're not going to change him. He's a fuckwad.
Maybe it's his cellmate.
His celly. Yeah.
His celly is going to be like a deep Buddhist who's going to be like, you're going to meditate every day. I'm going to make you, because I'm bigger than you. I'm going to make you meditate every day.
You know, I saw a thing that was like, you know, of course they're going to move, that he can't go to jail because he's too old.
Right.
And I'm like, put him in jail so old. Let them fuck him up. Put him in there. Okay.
He'll be protected by his fucking secret security.
So, you know, he created movement. And I believe some of which was good. It was definitely good for me. I'll speak for all liberals. Just kidding. I'll speak for me as a liberal. He was good for me because I believed we were in a world that had less of a shadow than I wanted to know we actually had.
Yeah.
Present moment, it's all kinds of stormy. Stormy fields for him, stormy fields for us. We're all like, what's going to happen? Is he gonna run again? Are we going to have to deal with him? Blah, 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 blah. And the outcome is the magical map shifter, which is usually a figure, a person, a being, a force, something that comes in and has a positive impact that takes us to living into our higher self more fully. So let's watch the political landscape and see what shows up. Like, maybe we get another AOC, or maybe somebody comes out of the, maybe it's one of the Supreme Court judges or a bunch of them.
Right.
Some lawyer who shows up and like has their day and makes a big impact. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. That's a nice spread. It's not a spread that says to me like, it's going to get worse. It's a spread like, shit's messy, but watch. This will be cool.
I mean, the first two were pretty like, it's like, almost like didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, in a good way. Like, that's exactly what happened. So it'll be great if that third thing then follows suit.
Let's find out if it does.
Shall we?
This was fun. You're the best.
This was always fun. Have fun in the Southwest.
Yeah, I love it here.
We'll see whenever you come back at some point. Let me know when you're back in town.
I'll be back Wednesday. I'm driving Wednesday and Thursday, so I'll be back Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Great. All right, love. I love you, and have a great time. All that stuff. Do more work if you feel like it.
No work. This is my pump.
You know what? Do your work if you want.
Just lay down and get sun. How about that?
It's great.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way. Does she care? No. Does anyone ever display the slightest sensitivity over the problems of a fellow individual? No. No. A resounding no.
Hey, sorry I took so long.
Oh, that's okay, really. Don't worry.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese. For We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.